You started showing your Eved, your servant, your greatness and your strong hand, Hashem Yael B'Shemayim V'Oretz, who is a God in the sky and the land that can do like you. Moshe Rabbeinu then goes on and asks, let me go see the great land that's on the other side of the Yarden, the great mountain, and Livanon, which refers to the base of Mikdash. Okay. It says in the next pasuk, Vayisaber Hashem bi lamanchem, but God got angry at me because of you. V'Hashem Elai, you didn't listen to me. V'Yomar Hashem Elai, Rav Loch, you've had enough. Al Tosef Daber Elai Od Badavarzeh, don't speak to me anymore about this thing. Vayisaber is a lashon of anger. If you look on the other side, the English in the art scroll says, but Hashem became angry with me. The problem is, Vayisaber has nothing to do with anger. The word Avar does not mean anger. Where does it mean the word anger? Ibor is like pregnancy, maybe. And maybe passed by. But what does the word anger have to do with anything? Kas would be the word over here. Not the Isaber. So what does that mean? So Rabbeinu Bachaya says it's a sod to something called, it's a remez, I should say, a hint, something called soda ibor. Now what's soda ibor? It's a bit different from Gilgulim. The idea is like this. A person can only come down three more times after the first time he's come down. Now normally, we spoke about this before, we don't believe in reincarnation. We don't have the Hindu idea of reincarnation where a whole body comes down a second time or he becomes another person the exact same time.
Oh. Thought we do.
But we have, what we have is a concept of Gilgulim, in which you have a person, if he screws up enough, that, let's say 51%, obviously I don't know the percentages, if enough of his soul has screwed up, then he's going to have to, that whole soul is going to have to come back to try it all again.
Parts of a soul.
But nitzoto, sparks of a soul can be made up of millions and billions of different parts. Those parts may come down. So if one spark of the soul messed up and didn't do what it was supposed to do, it can come down. And that's what we have by Gilgulim. But that the whole body comes down again, that Joe Schmo over there ends up becoming a newt, that doesn't normally happen. There's a possibility of such a thing happening, but it very, very rarely happens. And even then, it'll only happen up to three more times. It can't happen past the fourth time. It's only those four, and that's it.
Will the person get it right by the third time?
Or? You can't guarantee anything. Nothing's guaranteed. And that's also over here. 100%. Even so, it's not guaranteed that anything's going
to
happen.
It still needs to be elevated.
100%. But it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee to happen. So what happens in that case? So what happens is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu has already been down three times before. He's been in Hevel, he's been in Shais, and he's been with Noach. He's been around those three times before. So Gilgulim-wise, he didn't have a choice to come back. There was no chance for him to come back. But regarding soda ibor, when it comes to soda ibor and things like that, that's when it could be possible for him to come around, where the neshama can come back in a smaller form. Gilgulim-wise, not going to happen. Soda ibor-wise, it can happen. In a smaller form, a spark could come back in order to improve something or to help something out. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is like this. Hashem's Moshe Rabbeinu asked to be able to come down again. And he actually asked a very, very strange thing. He asked for a Gilgul. He said, Ebra no. I want to come back in Soda Ibor, but let me come back in Soda Ibor as a type of animal.
What's the exact translation of a Soda Ibor?
Soda Ibor is another type of Gilgul that I can't translate. There's no translation for the word. It's just to come back down, to pass into this world, maybe it would be translated as. But it's just called Soda Ibor, and I don't think there's a translation for it, really. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says, so what he's asking is, Ebra, no. Let me come down. Let me please be here. And let me be there in another type of form. I can't be Moshe Rabbeinu and go inside Eretz Yisrael. I understand that. It's time for Yoshua. And plus, I messed up. Okay, I understand that. Let me come back as a sheep. Let me come back as a bird. Let me come back as a fish. Just let me, allow me to go inside Eretz Yisrael in some way, shape, or form where I'll be able to go inside Eretz Yisrael, because I'm not going to be able to go otherwise until the times of Mashiach. I don't want that to happen. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayisaber Hashem bi lamanchem. Hashem got angry at me, and he said the Soda Ibor will not work in this situation. It's going to be a different type of Soda Ibor. The Soda Ibor that's going to happen is where you have different sparks of your soul that will end up going inside different people as you go in. So what happens is like this. There's supposed to be a nitzutz of the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation. Every door, there's somebody who has the ability of to be Mashiach, because there's a little spark of Moshe Rabbeinu within that person. And Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have one spark of his that was going to go inside each person in every generation for all time. But for the whole body of Moshe Rabbeinu to come around, that wasn't going to happen. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying was like this. Ebra, now please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me come by. God get angry at me and didn't allow me to do that, to come back in that way as a bird or an animal or a fish, rather to come back in a way where I would join inside one little soul and that's that. That's why he said, the wording is, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Rav Loch, Al Tosef Dabre Eli Od, Badavar Hazeh. Don't tell me Od stands for Ophos, as in birds, Ubehema, as in animals, and Dugim, as in fish. You're not going to come back in any of those three animals. It's not going to happen. So don't ask for that anymore. It's not going to happen. Your Gilgulim are done. Instead, every door is now going to have a Nitzutz of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's about it. Now, another thing that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to stop, you should know, by the way, this pshat is one from the Megala Amukos. The Megala Amukos is the Rav who lived about 150 years ago, Chassidish Rebbe. I forgot what his name is, but the exact name, and I was supposed to look it up, but obviously I didn't have enough time. The Megala Amukos has a 239 different pshatim at what Moshe Rabbeinu davened for in order to get inside Eretz Yisrael. Altogether, he davened 515 tefillos. The Medrash says the gematria of Vo'es Chanan is a gematria of 515. He davened 515 different prayers, different reasons to go inside Israel. None of them were answered. Not a single one was accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of them were rejected. Here's what the Megala Amukos had, 239 of them. He figured out 239 of those tefillos. Here's one of them that he puts down. He says he saw that later on in time there was going to be something called the Machlokes Hillel and Shammai. And he wanted to stop the Machlokes Hillel and Shammai from ever happening. He wanted it to be a kol nitnu miroa echod, the Gemara Chagiga says. To be considered like it's all given from one shepherd, from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who would be the shepherd, and everything would be given from him. In fact, miroa is Mem Reish Ayin Hey. Miroe is also Moshe Rabbeinu, all of HaShalom. The way to write out Moshe Rabbeinu's name is the Miroe Echad. He figured that everything should be from me. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me go inside Eretz Yisrael and give them a Torah that nobody will question, that nobody will have any problems with, so there won't be any machlokism later on in time. Everything will be Nitnu Miroe Echad, that everything will be given off from one person. And that was Ebra. Ebra ve'era'e. Ebra no ve'era'e. And Pasuk Chafei. Ebra is the word of the wording is Av Roe. Let me be the father of all the shepherds. Let me be that Roe that goes inside, the person to be able to take care of everything so that there's no machlokism and everything should go in. Let me be able to do it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Rav Loch, it's too much for you. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu himself was responsible for all machlokism in Klal Yisrael. When he was supposed to talk to the rock, had he talked to the rock instead of hitting it, what he would have done is made Dibor so powerful that any Dvar Torah that anybody says would be so clear, there'd be no questions about it, everybody would accept it as the true Torah Misinai, and instead of arguing with it, they would just be able to add more to it, and add more, and add more, and connect it to every parsha, and that everything would go up to be one big Dvar Torah. And you'd be able to go from Bereishis all the way to the last word, Yisrael. At the end of the Torah, you'd be able to have one word that just encompasses everything that together and goes all together, and there won't be any arguments, there would be nothing. Everybody would be able to figure out how every argument all works out as one. But instead, he didn't speak to the rock. He hit the rock, thus causing something called Kepatish Yefotzitz Sela, the Gemara says. Like a hammer hits a rock and causes sparks to come out, little bits and pieces to come out. Instead of it being one big rock, it scattered and became different Torah for everybody, and now nobody can really put it back together. So the machlokism of Hillel and Shammai came from Moshe Rabbeinu's decision to hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Thus, because of that, Moshe became the words machlokes Shammai Hillel. You like that?
Wow,
that's Moshe.
Wow.
Machlokes Shammai Hillel. That's what ended up coming up from that. It's a great little call over there. And that's why he said, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tosef Daber Eli Od Badavar Hazeh. You can't speak to me anymore about this, because your speech is what messed you up in the first place. That's what caused all these machlokism to be here. You want to take away the machlokism of Hillel and Shammai? It's not going to happen, because
the Dibur was messed up.
But
the concept of tshuva still exists, so how can he 100% fix it up?
This is the one time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not allow Moshe Rabbeinu to come in for other reasons. For other reasons. There are many, many things that were going on by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, this is one out of 515 tefillahs.
So I understand.
Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu has a ton of tainas, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes right back to him. One of the reasons that's given is actually a very, very good one. It's one of these. It comes in this form. So let's just say it like this. This taina goes like this. The Chassam Sofer says, how do you get prophecy outside of Eretz Yisrael? Normally, prophecy can only exist in Eretz Yisrael. Derech Hashem says one of the prerequisites for having prophecy, for becoming a Navi, is you got to be in Eretz Yisrael. but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. And there were other Nevi'im that didn't. So the Chassam Sofer says there are three reasons how you could get prophecy outside of Eretz Yisrael. He collected them from different places. So one he got from a Gemara Moed Katan Chafhei. He says that if the first time is in Eretz Yisrael, it can continue outside of Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. That explains Yonah. Yonah was inside Eretz Yisrael, and then he left Eretz Yisrael, and then he got another prophecy outside of Eretz Yisrael when he tried to go to Nineveh. That explains Yirmiyah. Then when Yirmiyah went outside Eretz Yisrael to follow the other people to Bavel, to tell everybody about everything, he was able to get prophecy outside of everywhere. That's one. Number two, if it's B'makom Mayim, then it's a holy place. If there's water around, it's a holier place. It's not the tumah of the ground, and therefore you can get prophecy even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So as long as you're by a river, or by a lake, or by a sea, you can still get prophecy even though you're not in the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's number two. Number three, that's from what's it called, from the Mechilta. And the third answer is that if it's for the needs of Eretz Yisrael, to do something for Eretz Yisrael, you can still get a prophecy outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's from the Kuzari. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Those three things, either by water, it started in Eretz Yisrael, or it's about Eretz Yisrael. It's to help do something for Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu had an issue. It didn't start in Eretz Yisrael, and it wasn't by water. His first prophecy was by what? A sneh.
Right.
A sneh is a thorn bush that does not have any water. It's only found in deserts. So because that, Moshe Rabbeinu knew it can't be by water. So what must it be? Litzorech Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Chanukah Zatora.
Midbar is different because Midbar is different than just...
It's pure tumah.
No, it's, I thought the whole
thing... No, the Midbar is the sadeh, which is where all the shadim rule. That's the worst place you can go. It's where all the tumah is. There's nothing worse than a Midbar when it comes to tumah. There's nothing worse than...
But I thought the whole thing, like the curse of the generation at the time was that they were stuck in what's it called, in spirituality. They were never able to
100%, that is true, that there was a lot of stuff that had to do with spirituality and issues within their spirituality.
Being the Midbar, they were completely
but the
reliant
Midbar,
on
Hashem. Yeah, the fact that they were there within the clouds and with the mun, that made it Kadosh. But the Midbar itself is full of tumah.
Uh-huh.
The Nechashim and the Akrabim and all the Srufim, the horrible snakes and scorpions and all the other things that were out there that was told, that made it into something that was a little bit different. So listen to this. He says, Ato hachilosa, the Haros is Avdecha, said Moshe Rabbeinu. You started to show your Eved all your great things. You started all your miracles. And where do you start it? Outside of Eretz Yisrael and by dry land without any water around. That means that the only reason why you started this prophecy was in order for me to do everything for Eretz Yisrael. So I'm Maskel Bedover. If I start off something, Tzarech Ligmor. You got to let me finish it. So let me go inside Eretz Yisrael. Because why else did he give me prophecy outside of Eretz Yisrael? There's no way you can give me prophecy outside of Eretz Yisrael unless it's for Eretz Yisrael. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't understand something. You're right. I would have let you go inside Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, people think of you as a god. People are starting to look at him. The first generation, the previous generation, look, they were older than Moshe Rabbeinu, around the same age as Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw him do all these things, but Moshe Rabbeinu kept telling them, you know, God did this, God did that. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam Suf. This new generation was too young to realize it at the time. Some of them weren't even born at the time, and it was 40 years later. They now looked at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they hear these stories, and we all know how stories get exaggerated. Well, Moshe did this, and Moshe did that, and Moshe was able to do this, and this, and that, and the money came from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the clouds, it came from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the water, it came from Moshe, and he crossed the sea and everything. The kids started looking up to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, he's not a human being, he's a god. And especially because he had this shiny face that nobody was able to look at. He had to put a mask on for people to look at him. That was the Masved, the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Nobody could look at his face. So they thought of him as an angel, as a god for all of Bnei Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu had to show them that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a god. That it's not Moshe Rabbeinu. So that he screws up the whole book. Can you imagine the book, at the end of the book, like everything's out there and you expect him to like get inside Israel and like lead them away and a great happy ending. And it's like, and Moshe dies. And? Oh, that's the next book. Yeshua's going to take him in, but that's the next book. We end off on the lowest note you possibly can. It messes up everything. It's the worst ending to any story you can ever imagine in your life. There is no worse ending. Moshe tried, and he tried, and he almost got in, but he didn't. And he didn't. He was a little engine that couldn't. That didn't do it in the end.
I thought Hashem says, like, the whole concept that like Moshe Dabney did touch Tshuva that he was going to let him in, but if he let him, he said
but
stop.
But he couldn't because of these reasons.
Couldn't. He told Moshe to stop because if he asked him to let him in,
exactly, that's how Tosef Dabrei Lai Od Bedabar. Don't keep speaking to me about it, because if you do keep speaking about it, then I'm going to have to let you in, which is a problem for all Bnei Yisrael. Right. It's going to be a problem for all Bnei Yisrael, and it's not going to be good because of that. Okay, Rav Loch, I'm going to skip over for now. I'm going to go into Lo Susifu. This is an interesting little call over here. So, Tanzo, I think you brought this up to me before. Lo Susifu al Davar She'agidu Lecha Yaminu. Lo Susifu al Davar She'agidu Lecha Yaminu. Small. I believe that's the pasuk, although I didn't have a chumash on me. Perek Dalet pasuk Beis. Here we go. Yeah, Lo Susifu is a Davar al Davar Asher Anochi Mitzvah Eschem. Lo Sigri Menu. Don't add on to the thing that they tell you, and don't go less than it. Lishmor Tzvus Hashem Alakecha Asher Anochi Mitzvah Eschem. That I am going to tell you. Then the next passage says, your eyes saw what God did to Baal Peor. Anybody who went after Baal Peor, God destroyed you. Normally, this passage is going to, the first passage was trying to tell you, don't add on to the mitzvos. Don't subtract from the mitzvos. Meaning, if somebody goes and tells you to have another string on your tzitzis, to add on instead of 8 strings, you should have 10. You have to tell them, no, absolutely not, I can't do that. Somebody tells you to put on 2 pairs of tefillin, technically, you got to say no. You're not supposed to put on 2 pairs of tefillin. I know there are people that do that. That's an
interesting
story.
There's 4 different kinds of tefillin.
I know. Yeah, so there gets into issues. But so too with tzitzis. There's many different types of tzitzis.
Well, not 2 at once.
Right.
Well, actually,
the question is, even though, yeah, so you don't want to get into this because...
Still, there are people who...
Yeah, there are people who have it underneath their kippah. Anyway, regardless, we're not going to go into the halacha regarding Lo Susifu, about what Lo Susifu is accepted by and whatever. But the Chizkuni is an unbelievable thing. He says the lav of Lo Susifu only applies by Avodah Zarah. It doesn't apply by anywhere else. Lo Susifu, the Dioraisa, lav of Lo Susifu, only applies by Avodah Zarah, and that's the connection to the pasuk, because you see what happened to Baal Peor. Because the people that worship Baal Peor, what did they do? They went in, and the woman of Shittim said to them, why don't you bow down to our idol? They said, we're not going to bow down to your idol. They said, well, why don't you do something else then? So they went to the bathroom on Baal Peor. Kol Amosif Goreya, the Gemara says. Whenever you add on to something, sometimes you subtract from the whole point in the first place. Because they went to the bathroom on it, that was the Avodah of Baal Peor. The Avodah of Baal Peor was to go to the bathroom on top of this idol. It was to go to the bathroom either number one or number two. Number two was obviously better than number one, but it was to do that. Lo Susifu, don't add on to the things that are out there, because if you do, then you might screw up everything. You might come to worship that Avodah Zarah. Lo Susifu applies by these types of Avodah Zarah.
Extreme when they, instead of just being like...
Exactly. They went too far.
If they spit on it, it would have been enough.
If they would have spit on it, that would have been great. They went way too far. That's the example that he gives. He says there's only 2 times where this pasuk comes up where don't add on to the mitzvos. By Baal Peor and by Molech later on in Parshas Shoftim. They're the only 2 times that it applies. And the reason why... I'm sorry, in Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim. And the reason why is because both of them have to do with Avodah Zarah. Never add on to any type of Avodah Zarah, and that's the reason where it applies. However, we have to understand this. Baal Peor, what kind of a god was that to go to the bathroom?
Any normal action, because it may become Avodah Zarah.
Exactly, because you don't know what the Avodah, what the service of that Avodah Zarah is.
So maybe it mentions them in close to Avodah Zarah, so that we should know, don't add on to my Torah, because that would be Avodah Zarah.
Exactly.
Don't do mitzvah.
That's not the word that the Chizkuni says. That could be a drusha that can come out. That was a drusha.
No, Pesach, 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 don't, hold on.
Yeah, then the pshat is not like that.
Pshat is, don't add or take away from the Torah, period.
But the next pasuk talks about Avodah Zarah. So what you're saying is don't add on, because that would make it into
Avodah Zarah. 100%.
That would be a great call. That would be a great call. But that's still a drush. That wouldn't be the pshat that we're trying to get from the pasuk, which would be trying to say the Lo Susifu doesn't applies on Avodah Zarah.
Pshat to say that it only applies to Avodah Zarah.
Well, he's saying that it's not.
No, it is pshat, because the next pasuk straight out goes in and says, like Avodah Zarah.
The pasuk that says don't add and don't
take. If it's a different parsha, I would hear that. If it was a different parsha, but this seems to be some type of a connection. Yeah. Seems to be some type. Yeah. By the way, so what is Baal Peor? What does Baal Peor mean? I mean, like, what kind of an avodah is it to go ahead and to go to the bathroom on top of the idol?
Are supposed to worship it by going to the bathroom on it? 100%.
100%. So what was that avodah?
They could go to the bathroom on it to.
And what was that? So here we go. The avodah of Baal Peor is.
That's how you're supposed to worship it.
Right. So what is it? Who thought it up, and what was it? It was to be free.
Yeah.
It was the idea of complete freedom, where I don't have to listen to what anyone tells me. That I will go to the bathroom on my idol, and that's okay. Yeah. Well, I will do anything I want. The famous example that I always heard from Rabbi, I forget what his name is. I don't remember what his name is in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Rav in Machon Lev. I don't know if he's still there. Rabbi Schuster. Rabbi Schuster. What he used to say is the following. He used to say that Jane Fonda, famous Jane Fonda from Hollywood, she had a house in the 70s where she did not have any doors, even in the bathroom. If you want to do something, do it in public. What's the difference? Why should you have to hide behind a door? Let everyone see exactly what you're doing. That everybody should be involved. It's where you're free from everything. Nobody tells me what to do, and no matter what I do. That's why the pasuk says in Yoshua, Avon Pa'or Asher Lo Hutaru Mimenu. They still weren't purified from it. What does that mean, they weren't purified from it? They still had Avodah Zarah of Pa'or with them? No. The idea of Pa'or was still in their head. The idea of, do whatever you want. Nobody can tell me what to do. We Jews happen to be really good at that. Nobody can tell me that I can't do this or I can't do that. That avon of Pa'or, and the fact that it's the only avodah zarah that is known by the Jews, in which it says vayid biku, vayitzmedu, the pasuk says.
Yeah.
They got so stuck to it, they couldn't get themselves out of it. They just wanted to do whatever they wanted. And part of that avoda was going to the bathroom on the idol. That's where it started from. But that was just part of the service in which it was do whatever you want.
Definition or translation of Pa'or or the Gematria? There's got to be something in Pa'or.
I don't have anything offhand. It's altogether 356. I don't know anything offhand of what it is or what it refers to or anything. But that's the idea of giving in to your taivas and doing anything you want. That's the idea behind it. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is buried by Baal Pa'or. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the king of suppressing taiva. He was the one who, obviously, he had a wife and he separated from her and wouldn't go anywhere near for 40 years because he was always afraid. Kadosh Baruch was always speaking to him. There was always a nevuah that was around there. He was punished, but for a different reason, because he didn't go to her and ask her for permission first. He just did it. He knew that it was correct, but he did not go up to her. But regardless, there's still Moshe Rabbeinu was buried right next to Baal Pa'or. So whenever Baal Pa'or comes up and says, guys, do whatever you want, Moshe Rabbeinu stands opposite it. While he's dead, his kever is opposite it, saying, get down there. You gotta have a set fence. You gotta close yourself in and make sure you still do something. You're not just freed out of everything in the world. Okay, the last thing. All right, yeah, let's end with this because it's already late. You ready for this one? This is a little hard. In this week's parsha, we go into Ve'ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Moshe Rabbeinu had an ability to destroy all the people of Canaan. He had an ability just to say a word and he will destroy every person in the nation of Canaan without fighting them at all. Bnei Yisrael didn't deserve it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let Moshe Rabbeinu in. What would he have done? He would use the eighth shame of the shame Ayin Beis. I'm not so sure what that means, but the shame Ayin Beis, the shame made up of 72 letters, he would have used the eighth shame. What is that eighth shame? Moshe Rabbeinu is the gematria of Kel Shakoi. Aleph Lamed Shin Dalad Yud. Aleph Lamed Shin Dalad Yud. Both the gematria are 345 altogether. 345.
Really?
Now, yeah. There's a word that says, the Kel Shakoi Yitin L'Charachamim. It happens to be the Kel Shakai Yitin L'Charachamim is a direct pasuk referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now look at these words. Vav Aleph Lamed Shin Dalid Yud. In between an Aleph and a Shin is a Tav. In between the Vav and the Dalid, in between the Aleph and the Shin, before the Aleph, after the Shin, is a Tav. That's what it would be. In between a Vav, the way it goes, I mean, if you look at the alphabet, right? Aleph is the beginning, Tav is the end.
Right.
So if you go before the Aleph, you go to the back of the alphabet, which is a Tav, and the Shin. So between the Aleph and the Tav, Aleph and the Shin is a Tav. Between the Dalid of Shakai and the Vav of Ve'el is a He. And in between the Lamed of Ve'el and the Yud of Shakai is a Chaf. Those letters, Tav, He and Chaf, spell out a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is so powerful that if used correctly can destroy every one of your enemies without lifting up a finger.
Don't
it was the name used by Moshe Rabbeinu when he saw the Mitzri beating up Dasan. The next day Moshe Rabbeinu saw Dasan and Aviram fighting. And he said to them, Lama Take Reyecha, why are you hitting your friend? And he used the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tav Chaf Hey, because they were using the shame against each other. And he said, Lama Take Reyecha, you can't use the shame Take against your friend. It only works against your enemies. It doesn't work against your friend. Take is not going to work against them. And that's when Dasan said, oh, what are you going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri?
I thought it just means hit.
Normally. That's the shame that he used. It's Chaf Hei Tov. Now listen to this.
Yarizal
says that if you want to make sure that you don't have any problems all day long, at the end of Vavolat Zion, concentrate on the letters. Lo Azavta Dorshecha Hashem. Azavta, the last letter is a Tav. Dorshecha is a Chaf. Hashem, the last letter, Yud Kei Vav Hei, the last letter is a Hei. It's Tav Chaf Hei. Once again, that shame will be able to take care of you. Chanukah and Purim together is the gematria of Tav Chaf Hei. Hasoch in the Megillah, Hasoch, the person who goes in between Esther and Mordechai, it was a discussion whether or not to use the shame of Take, which is Hasoch, spelled the other way, to destroy all the Amalekim that were with Haman and to take care of everything. In Aleinu, Liros Mehera Besiferes Uzecha. Mehera Besiferes Uzecha, the last words are Tav Chaf Hei. Asei Lecha Tevas Atzei Gopher, said over to Noach. Asei Lecha Tevas is again Tav Chaf Hei. It's the shame all over the place. Destroy anything that you need among your enemies. Anything that you need, this can take care of it. Now listen to this. You ready? Rabbi Akiva, when he was dying, the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Samach Dalet that Rabbi Akiva, when he was dying, his flesh was being combed off of his body. Flesh was being combed off. And the Talmidim said to him, the Talmidim saw him, and immediately Rabbi Akiva said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, cried out the word Shema. And the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe Ad Kan, which loosely translated means, Rebbe, even now you're going to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Even now you're going to do it? To which Rabbi Akiva said, all my life I've been able to accomplish B'chol Levavcha U'B'chol Me'odecha. I've used all my money, all my heart for Torah. Now I can finally do B'chol Nashecha. I can give my soul over to Torah. And you want me to give that up? Of course, I'm going to do B'chol Nashecha. That's what he said. Listen to this word now. You're going to hear it so unbelievably well. He said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and stopped right there. Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, Ad Kan, you're going to stop right there? Keep going. V'yahavta eis Hashem Elokecha. The last letters of V'yahavta eis Hashem Elokecha, of eis is a tough. Hashem is a hey. Elokecha is a chaf. You have the shame of Taka right there. Keep going. Say the shame correctly and you'll destroy all your enemies and you won't die. So if you keep going, you won't be able to be killed. The whole shame of Taka that you can use to destroy your enemies is right there within V'yahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha. So Rebbe Ad Kan, you're going to go up until a year. Don't stop. Keep going and destroy every single one of the Romans and you'll be fine. To which Rebbe Akiva said, all my life I've been able to accomplish B'chol Levavcha V'chol Me'odecha. Now I finally want to do V'chol Nafshecha. And you want me to stop? How? I can't. I can't stop. There's nothing I can do about it. And he gave up his soul to a Kaddish Baruch Hu because he knew it wasn't a time to use the shame taka. That's how powerful that shame is that Rabbi Akiva knew about it, and that's an entirely different way of looking at the Gemara. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to use to go inside Eretz Canaan, and because of that, we had to fight the people of Canaan, and obviously that wasn't good for us. All right, guys, we'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos.